What's up, Duke fans, and welcome to another episode of Duke Blue Central, the podcast all things Duke basketball. And we're here talking about a fun one today, ladies and gentlemen. We're recapping Duke's dominating win against Virginia. Duke final score of Duke 73, Virginia 48. This was a game Duke led from the beginning and dominated the game thoroughly throughout in a game that was supposed to be close, supposed to be a good battle of two top-notch ACC teams. And Duke showed why they are the far, far, far better team than Virginia basically throughout the entirety of the game. This was a game in which Duke jumped out to an early lead, really early, and just never looked back, and in fact even increased the lead as the game went along. There's not going to be a lot of negatives from this game. I'll highlight one negative for you. Is if there is one negative, it's that we had 10 turnovers, which isn't really even a bad mark for most teams. That might be the only negative I can see from this game, and maybe perhaps the minutes breakdown, but we can talk about that more as the episode goes. But just to start from a team positive perspective, just a phenomenal game from Duke, perhaps our best performance of the year. Crazy stat for you here. Had Duke just stopped scoring at halftime, the halftime score, I believe, was 40-18, I think. 40-18 or 40-17. Had Duke just stopped scoring at halftime, just passed the ball around and turned it over every time, we only would have lost this game by 8 points, as Virginia's final score ended up only being 48 points. Man, just some surprising things really happened in this game, and maybe not surprising is the right word to use, but I think a lot of people, when they broke down this game before, were talking about how Virginia's front court is really good, they're going to be really good at defending Kyle Filipowski, and that Duke is going to have to play through its guards to succeed well in this game, and that just did not happen. Flip was scoring at will in the low post. This was awesome. This was a game where he only took one three-point shot and made it, which is something, you know, I feel like he hasn't done in a lot of games. He likes to drift towards the perimeter and take those open threes, which I'm fine with him doing. But this was by far maybe the biggest game this season where I've seen Flip just dominate in the low post, which is impressive against a team like Virginia who has such a good defensive team. Virginia is one of the better defensive teams in the ACC, top three probably, I believe, one of the better defensive teams in the country with just their style of play. And Duke was just scoring at will against them from the start of the game. I love how Duke started this game. Too many times this season we've seen Duke kind of limp out of the gate, and that is, I think we scored on our first nine offensive possessions. Just like a rocket out of the gates. They were so ready for this game and so prepared to destroy Virginia. They did it with good ball movement, but man, there in the beginning and all throughout the game, we did it primarily through playing through Flip down in the low post, and when we got the ball to him in the right spots, good things almost always happened. He finished with 21 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block, and also 3 steals along to boot. An incredible game from Flip. Again, like I said, only 1-for-1 from three, and he made both of his free throws while playing 28 minutes. And a lot of those were, a lot of those minutes he wasn't playing were at the very end of the game when we were subbing him out. Also only picked up one foul in this game, which is a continued praise for Flip. It's kind of early in the year, even up to mid-year. The big thing was Flip was staying out of foul trouble so that he could be on the court for long stretches of time. And he has really been able to do that in the past few games. He has cut down on stupid fouls so often. So I just want to take that time to just, you know, shout out Flip and the improvement that he's taken. It's easy to criticize players and things like that and talk about what they need to do better, but few and far between, I feel like, do we actually compliment players for improving on the things that the coaches see and things like that. And that's something that obviously Flip has really taken to heart and improved on. Any foul that he picks up now, rarely am I saying that's a bad foul. You know, early in the year, it felt like 50% of his fouls were good at the basket, 50% were just like, come on, that's stupid foul, we don't need that, worthless, you know, you're reaching in out from on a bad shooter at the top of the key, those types of fouls, removing screens or things like that. Rarely ever do I catch myself seeing a foul from Filipowski and thinking to myself that it was a bad foul. That's a part of his game. He's really tightened up. But what more can you say about this guy? He's playing certainly at an all-ACC or even all-American level. He's this team's leader in a lot of ways, even though I think Jeremy Roach is the team's leader in some different ways. But when it comes to scoring and pure production, Kyle Filipowski is the guy for this team. And in an important game in March against a top ACC opponent, he proved that and showed the whole country why he's the type of player that he is and why he's held in such high regard as he is. So great, awesome game from Kyle Filipowski. Another individual performance that really stood out for me was Tyrese Proctor. Proctor is really coming on strong in the past few games with the absence of Caleb Foster. Obviously, you hate Caleb Foster being injured. It doesn't sound like we'll get him back, certainly for the regular season, maybe not even for the postseason. I'm hoping he can come back for the latter end of the ACC tournament and be with us for the NCAA tournament. But this injury, I do feel like, has given Tyrese Proctor some more time on the court, and he has taken advantage of it and really stepped up in the absence of Caleb Foster. He finished playing 29 minutes tonight, going 6-for-8 from the field, hit 3-for-4 on his three-point shots. This was a good shooting day for Tyrese. And, you know, we've had a couple of these games where it felt like Tyrese didn't have the scoring numbers you would think, and a lot of it was just because he was missing his outside shots. I've said in a few episodes, look, if Tyrese makes two more of his threes, the box score looks way different, and we're talking about his game way differently. And this was a game where that happened. He hit his open threes, and we are talking about him having a much better game. But he also finished with 5 assists. That's just an average day at the office for Tyrese Proctor. Such an elite passer of the ball. He was way more aggressive in this game, looking to score, which you love to see. It's something fans have been wanting to see for a while. I trust Tyrese with the ball. I know he's more times than not going to make really good decisions. He also played excellent defense tonight, not allowing Virginia to get open threes pretty much ever in the game. He's typically always guarding the opposite team's best player. He was guarding McNeely tonight, who is a known three-point shooter. McNeely finished the night 3-for-11 on his field goals and only finished with 12 points. That was good for second best on Virginia tonight. But Proctor has obviously had a great game, and I wonder if this injury to Foster has really kind of lit a fire under him to help step up and lead this team when it matters most. Duke has a really important game against NC State on Monday, and that, if he continues to have a good hot streak, you know, we can really start talking about, you know, how this injury to another player really sparked him coming on. Or it could be the fact that it's just March, and I feel like Tyrese knows when to turn it on and when he can turn it off, and he's certainly going to be flipped on for this latter part of the season. Those are the two individual performances that stand out the most. There were a couple guys like Jeremy Roach and Jared McCain had good games, but kind of maybe subpar for their standards, but not in a way that's bad. I think this was just a game where Flip and Proctor were really on and hitting shots, and they weren't going to take over the game just to interfere with that. This is also a game where neither of them hit a three. You know, for as dominating as this game was, Duke only shot 31% from three. First half, we went 3-for-9. Second half, we went 3-for-10. Under our season average, and I feel like there were open shots. Jeremy Roach went 0-for-4 and 3 from 3 in this game, and some of them were just shots he has just not missed at all this year. I mean, offensive rebound kick out to him, wide open. That's been about as automatic as a shot as Duke has taken this year, and he missed a couple of those. Same thing with Jared, went 0-for-3. His threes were a little more contested, but still, in a game where those guys are going 0-for-7 from 3, and you shoot 30%, I would take that. I think more often than not, those guys are not going to combine going 0-for-7 from outside. But this was a game where they were happy to distribute and still impact the game in really positive ways. McCain finished with 7, Roach with 6 points. Jeremy Roach actually also finished with 5 assists, so good on him. 1 steal for him as well. Only 1 turnover. Same for McCain, only 1 turnover, and finished with 6 boards, which is just something he just has a knack for, man. I don't know how he does it, but he can rebound the ball better than any small guard maybe I've seen at the college level, or at least watched in recent years. So good for those two guys. Another 2 really important players for Duke in this one and moving forward are going to be TJ Power and Sean Stewart. Sean, we've seen glimpses of in the past few games. You know what kind of player he is. He's just an electric athlete. Just sucks in rebounds more than any player on this team. He finished with 6 points, 8 boards. Good for him. Had a block and an assist as well, and a steal in there. And played well on defense against Virginia. Now, don't get it twisted. Virginia is a terrible offensive team. They are not good. I feel bad for Reese Beekman because I really do think he's a great player. I just don't think the Virginia roster has the talent on it this year as they've had in years past. And I'm not one of these guys that's a Tony Bennett hater. I think Tony Bennett is an excellent coach. And while their style is sometimes just miserable to watch, it's undeniable that they win games and that they've launched themselves into real country relevance because of that style and because of their commitment to doing all the fundamentals so solid. But they just haven't been able to do that this year, and I think a large part of that is just because of the player pool. No disrespect to those guys, but Reese Beekman really feels like he stands out way taller than the rest of them, and he's just forced to do so much that you only expect to get so much out of one guy. But yeah, when we're back to Sean Stewart, we've seen glimpses of him be really good, and he was excellent in this game as well. Had some really big dunks, and he's going to be an important piece for Duke moving forward, especially without the absence of Foster. Even though Foster's a guard, everyone on the bench is going to get more minutes now that he's out. He ended up finishing with 14, as well as TJ Power also finished with 14 minutes, and he impressed me today. I think, we all know TJ can shoot. He went 2 for 5 from 3, could have hit more of those. But I thought his defense was held up today. Now, again, Virginia does not have these athletes that you're going to put out on the floor and they're going to just take advantage of his unathleticism, maybe. But TJ played good defense, and these are sometimes older people he's playing against with experience and guys who know how to break down rookies. And Power held his own. Now, listen, it's always going to be easier to see and coach on-ball defense compared to off-ball. I think some of the freshmen have struggled a little in off-ball defense this season. Even guys like Caleb Foster and Jared McCain. That just takes more time to develop, and TJ hasn't seen the court as much as those guys, so he's not going to be as elite as those guys are. But he's got length, and he's got enough, I think. I saw enough out of him today to feel confident that we can throw him in there for some spot minutes against some decent teams, especially, you know, as we're talking about the early rounds of the basically throughout the whole ACC tournament, but even the early rounds of the NCAA tournament. I feel confident against some of these smaller opponents that maybe don't have the athletes as a school like a Baylor or Kansas or something like that. We can throw TJ out there and not worry about him too much on defense. Now, is the defensive ceiling of this team going to be at its max when he's on the floor? I don't think so. But what he brings to the offensive table, if he's having an on shooting night, can bring that. Because when you lose a guy like Foster, you're losing a 40% three-point shooter. And I think TJ Power is and can be a consistent 40% three-point shooter to space the floor out more, which is something that Duke needs if they want to go where they want to go. Duke needs spacing. It's no secret. We need to be hitting our threes, we need to be hitting our threes, and we need to get Flip in the low post, and that kind of unlocks our offense. And if one of those things isn't happening, it can be difficult for Duke to win against really elite teams. You know, if we're not hitting threes, they're just going to allow us to shoot, and we're not going to be able to get anything going in the low post with Filipowski or anybody. They can just stack the defense down there, and if they're not afraid of three-point shooters, we're going to have a hard time scoring down there in the low post. However, I do think Duke has put enough film out there that teams know how elite of a three-point shooting team we are. I think we're top 10 in the country. And the same goes vice versa. If we're not playing inside out, Flip's not getting the ball in his spots, and he's just hovering around the three-point line. Teams are just going to run us off the line, and if we don't make the adjustment to play down low, it's going to be difficult for us to win as well. So things need to be in balance, and this was a good example of a game where they were. Ryan Young played some good minutes in this game, too. Only 10 minutes from him. We've definitely seen his minutes go down, even from last year. Like, this is a guy who played even more last year, and we've just seen his minutes get cut. But I think Ryan Young can still be a really important player for us, especially in spot minutes where a couple of our other big men are in foul trouble. But I think we can officially say Sean Stewart has passed him up in the rotation, which is, I think, is something a lot of people anticipated at the beginning of the year. But I'm not here to throw any shade on Ryan Young. He's a high effort player, and I have no doubt that against pretty much any opponent, he can make positive contributions, and I think he will, especially with his age in the tournament, be an invaluable asset to Duke. Now, other than that, the only guys we saw get minutes were Jalen Blake, Spencer Hubbard, and Neil Begovic. Unfortunately, no three-pointer for Spencer Hubbard in this game, but still, always good to see those guys on the court, especially at home in front of the crazies. Root for those guys. Want to give those guys as much love as you can while they're here at Duke. We're lucky to have them and thankful for all the work that they put in off the court to get in those situations where they can have fun out in front of the home crowd. But yeah, awesome win for Duke. Gosh, I'm having trouble even thinking what to say for this. This is just one of those days at the office per se where everything just goes right. And Duke is looking like we're clicking at the right time. We're going to see if this is a trend for John Shire-led Duke teams. But he tends to figure it out late. I saw somebody tweeted, one of the guys I follow on Twitter said, John Shire is a second half of the season coach. You know, sometimes you want to say your favorite team, oh, we're a second half team. They said John Shire is the second half of the season coach, which I think is a little shade of how he coached the first half, which I didn't think was terrible. But yeah, we'll see. But this is 2 years in a row where the team is just in drastically better shape in February, March than we were at beginning of the year. It was even more dramatic last year because we were losing a lot of games. We don't typically see a team like Duke lose. And then at the end, we went on a massive winning streak. It's a little bit different this year. We have dropped some games late. I mean, Wake Forest was only a week ago, which, by the way, they lost another game to Virginia Tech. So the Duke curse is alive and well for them, and they are trying to give the committee every chance they get to leave them out of the tournament, which you never want to do. I still think they should be in, but man, if you're a Wake fan, I'd be real nervous right now. They are trying to get left out of the field. But yeah, this Duke team is clicking at the right time. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens against NC State and Carolina. Because if we drop that game at NC State, we could be having a very different conversation about the seeding of this team, where we could be headed. But yeah, we can save that for after the game. Hopefully we're talking about a victory. And another important thing, Duke's net ranking jumped up massively in this game. I believe we jumped all the way up to 9 in the net rankings, which is it's really fascinating system here, how all of that works. Duke is up to 9. We were previously at 10, Duke is at 10 as of right now, right behind North Carolina. But that's a big jump from us. I think we might have even jumped down because of some other games that happened before. But I believe we were somewhere in the 15-ish range, jumped all the way up to 9. You know, you want to approach that the 2-seed range as we kind of enter into tournament season. And at KenPom, we jumped all the way up to number 7 on the year, which is massive for us. We know that the selection committee looks at numbers like these. They really respect the analytics. That kind of messed us up last year, but it actually may come to our aid this year if we can continue. But this was a huge game because of how large we won and how respected Virginia is. This did a lot for our analytical numbers, and I think that it can kind of further bolster our argument for Duke as a 2-seed if we're able to, make the championship in the ACC tournament, and especially if we're able to pull out wins against NC State and North Carolina. That would just be massive for our NCAA tournament seeding as we exit the year. I think the conversations for Duke as a four seed. I wonder if, I think if we lose to NC State, that definitely is still an option, because then we talk about you lose to NC State, if you lose again to North Carolina, and then maybe you don't make the championship of the ACC tournament. I think that's where we're headed. But I think if we get a win against NC State, I would like to think we have at least a three seed locked up, because at that point, every game you play the rest of the year is going to be against a decent school. North Carolina losing to them, I think, would stink, obviously, but it's not going to do too much to hurt our NCAA tournament resume, just because of, you know, how respected North Carolina is. And then when you get to the ACC tournament, one, historically, the ACC, really all conference tournaments have not mattered to NCAA seeding as much as most people think. So, you know, even if you drop a semifinal game, I don't think your seed line drops a whole level from that. So I'm hoping if we beat NC State, we can at least get the four seed conversations out, go into the tournament hoping that Duke is going to be at least a three seed. And then if we finish out the year undefeated, beat NC State, beat UNC at home, I would feel really comfortable in saying if we make the championship game, I think there's a strong possibility of Duke getting a two. My only question would be, and this all depends on how the bracket shakes out, would you rather be the bottom two seed or the top three seed? For those of you who don't know, the each seed, even though they're the same, you know, there's four two seeds, they're all ranked. So there's a number one two seed, there's a number two two seed. And depending on how that shakes out, you know, if you're the last two seed to get in, let's say they think you're the eighth best team, so you'll be the last two seed, you'll actually end up being in the number one overall seeds bracket. So, like, for example, I believe right now it would be UConn. So, like, if Duke was the last two seed, we would end up being the two seed to UConn's one seed. Whereas maybe if we were the top three, you know, the number one three seed, you get, I don't know, you might shake out in a more favorable bracket. But anyway, we can save that talk for later. But right now, Duke is on top. That was one of the most pleasurable games of the year for me. Everybody says they like the close games. I don't like the close games. I like the blowouts. Those are my favorite. I want to see Duke steamroll everyone they play. Awesome game from the Blue Devils against Virginia. And I look forward to coming to you again with another episode after NC State, and certainly another one after North Carolina, as we kind of look forward and prepare for that game and the rest of the ACC and NCAA tournament. It is officially March. Time has just flown by in this season, hasn't it? Doesn't feel like that long ago we were sitting here talking. It doesn't feel like that long ago I was recording an episode talking about how Duke was going to be okay after we lost to Arizona at home at the beginning of the year. Feels like a different team than then, and it just feels like that wasn't that long ago. But here we are. This is the last month of the season for most teams. Hopefully Duke can make it to April and make it to that national title game. But we're here. We're here. Time to lock in. Let's lock in and get a win at NC State. Thanks so much for listening. Appreciate you all. Go Blue Devils.